And welcome back, everyone. This is the first inning, and we're live on Spotify, and it's September 16th, 2020. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays 20 to 6. I knew it was 20-6, which is unbelievable that the Yankees scored so many runs. First time in history that the first two batters, number one and two in the batting lineup, scored over five RBIs in that game. But there's a lot to talk about in baseball news today. And we're going to talk about the no off days in the playoffs and the people who benefit. Also, here's a good one. Tempers flared and benches clear for Cardinals and the crew against against the Milwaukee Brewers. And the Cardinals skipper Mike Schilt heard something like at the bottom of the fifth inning where the Brewers leading big, and he took his displeasure to the source. So the manager strode right up to the top step of the Milwaukee dugout and sparked the first of several interruptions during the Brewers' 18-3 win at Miller Park on Tuesday. Now, players from both dugouts emptied into the field as heated words were exchanged, and the manager and the Cardinals catcher Yadier Molina among the most animated. Brewers' first baseman Jack Grocco, a former Cardinal, was also among those in the front line trying to calm everybody down. But that's one crazy thing, because eventually order was restored. And the Cardinals and Brewers managers were ejected, and the Brewers went to a 6-run fifth inning. We followed a 7-run fourth inning, adding a more drama to a rivalry that is just getting started. In 2020, the series, 5 games in 3 days, including doubleheaders on Monday and Wednesday, begins a stretch of 10 games in 2 weeks between the Cardinals and Brewers. Their earliest series is August and had been postponed due to positive testing for COVID-19. Within the St. Louis traveling party. So that's one. And DJ LeMahieu took a 48 miles per hour pitch deep. Major league hitters trained to be able to catch up to 100 miles per hour hitters. But last night, Tuesday night, the Yankees' LeMahieu had to hold back long enough to do damage against a pitch less than half that fast. With New York blowing out Toronto in what became a 26th victory at Yankee Stadium, the Blue Jays put rookie infielder Santiago Espinal in the mound to top up the bottom of the eighth inning. It was the second pitching appearance for Espinal, who lobbed a 0-1 pitch towards home plate against LeMahieu leading off the inning. LeMahieu waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited, and finally, the 48.7 miles per hour floater arrived at home plate. LeMahieu uncorked his swing and more than doubled the pitch velocity, ripped the ball at 100 miles per hour into left field seats for the 7th home run of the season. Now, pitch tracking data is available and going back to 2008, and since then, this was easily the slowest tracked pitch to be hit for a home run. The previous low was a 53 miles per hour pitch by the Dodgers' Vicente Padilla that the Mets' Ike Davis hit out on July 23rd, 2010. Just 10 other pitches left, and 60 have been taken deep in that period. So it's very rare to see a slow pitch go deep, but when it does happen, it happens. So MLB announces the 2020 postseason schedule. So a year that has looked like no other will have a similar unique finish. Major League Baseball announced its schedule for the 2020 postseason, highlighted by the first natural site for classic in modern history. Not only will the Division Series, League Championship Series, and the World Series all be played at natural site locations, but the schedule for these series have been altered in terms of off days, meaning teams will have plenty of decisions to make when it comes to pitching. The best of three wildcard series, best of five division series, and best of seven league championship series will each take place without any off days in between games. Teams will have to decide whether to use the traditional five-man rotation or utilize a four pitching starters with the potential as many as three of them pitching on a short rest. Each series will be preceded by at least one off day, though more are possible depending on when other series are completed. The 116th World Series is slated to start with Game 1 on Tuesday, October 20th at Globe Life Field in Arlington. A potential Game 7 is scheduled for Wednesday, October 28th. Now, the postseason is scheduled to commence with the top four seeds in each league hosting a best of three wildcard series, which are presented by Hankook. In a regular season home ballparks, the inaugural wildcard series is set to begin in the American League on Tuesday, September 29th, and is the National League on Wednesday, September 30th. Beginning with the division series, all teams will shift to natural site locations in Southern California and Texas for the duration of the postseason due to health, safety, and competitive considerations. Now, all games in the American League Division Series, which are presented by Utz Potato Chips, will be played in San Diego and Los Angeles, while the National League Division Series, which are presented by Dosen, will take place in Arlington and Houston. The American League, the winner of the first versus eight matchup will face the 4-5 at Petco Park in San Diego, while the winners of 2-7 and 3-6 matchups will square off at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. Both best of five American League Division Series will be scheduled for Monday, October 5th through Friday, October 9th. In the National League, Arlington's Globe Life Field would host a Division Series featuring the winners of 1-8 and 4-5 National League Wildcard Series, with the winners of 2-7 and 3-6 series will play their National League Division Series at Houston Minute Maid Park. Now, both best of five National League Division Series will be scheduled for Tuesday, October 6th through Saturday, October 10th. San Diego will then host the American League Championship Series, which is presented by Geico and will air exclusively on TBS beginning Sunday, October 11th. A potential Game 7 would take place on Saturday, October 17th. The National League Championship Series, which is presented by Camping World, will begin in Arlington on Monday, October 12th, with a potential Game 7 taking place on Sunday, October 18th. The National League Championship Series will air exclusively on Fox and Fox Sports 1. Now, ESPN Radio will provide live national coverage over the 2020 MLB postseason games. The entire postseason schedule can be viewed in its entirety at MLB.com/postseason. So it's basically going to start Tuesday, September 9th. And it's going to be four wild card games. Which is crazy. So that's how that's going to take place. So let's see, with no days off in the playoffs, who benefits from this? Let's take a look. as through baseball in 2020 hasn't gone through enough changes, there's another one, and it's more meaningful than it might seem. Major League Baseball and the Players Association have agreed that for the first three rounds of the 2020 postseason, there will be no days off within a series. Once a series starts, there's baseball each day until it ends. This is going to be so important. That's because the wild card round, the best of three series, will take place entirely at the home stadium of the higher ranked team. The division series, best of five, the championship series, best of seven, will take place entirely within one of the bubble areas in California or Texas. The best of seven World Series will have days off after games two and five, as usual. The reasoning here is simple. No travel means no travel days. You don't have the Dodgers and Braves playing two games in Los Angeles and then needing time to fly cross country to Atlanta, as happened in the 2018 National League Division Series. Now everyone says in the same place. There's less need for days off, and so there won't be any. That doesn't leave you any time to breathe. More importantly, it doesn't leave you any time to rest. Just look at what a 2027 game American League Championship Series or National League Championship Series might look like compared to what usually happens. So previously, you would play game one and two. You have an off day the third day. Then you play three, four, and five continuously. Then you have an off day the seventh day. And then you play the last two games, six and seven, which is a total of nine games altogether, which now you're going to play all the games in 7 days. On that eighth day is a day off. Now those big red flashing off days might as well read recharge your ace reliever no longer. That might seem, it might seem unconscious, but it's going to have some pretty major implications for pitching strategy. If it feels like October baseball from a different planet than regular season baseball, that's because it is. It has been taken over by endless streams of relievers over more than a regular season has. And we may quote ourselves from 1 year ago. In 2010, for example, relief pitchers, 32.9% regular season share of things, and their 32.3% postseason share of innings was easily equal. In 2018, relievers pitched 39.4% of regular season innings. In the postseason, they pitched 49.7% of the innings. So most importantly, there was considerably higher usage than we saw in the regular season. That reversed itself slightly in 2019, mostly because the October Nationals tried to build the entire plan out of starters. It clearly seemed to be more of a fluke from a team with enormous bullpen concerns rather than a trend. As we continue to detail last year, October baseball gets very different. Fastballs get faster, strikeouts go up, and offense goes down. It is not difficult to explain why. There are better teams using better pitches as often as they can. In 2019, for example, hitters had a 7.58 OPS in the regular season and a 700 OPS in the playoffs. They struck out 23% of the time in the regular season and 26.1% of the time in the postseason. This happens like every single year. It's why the myth that small ball works better in October as just that, a myth. Put another away, in the 2018 National League Championship Series, the Brewers used Corey Kubel six times in seven games, but over 9 days. He was spectacular, striking out 10 and allowing just one run. He also missed the entirety of 2019 with Tommy John surgery, which is crazy. and make of that, if you will. He managed to do that while never pitching 3 days in a row, because he pitched in the first two games, got a day off for the travel day, pitched in 3 and 4, got 2 days off for game 5 and another travel day, and pitched again in game 6 and 7. Campbell, or someone like him, almost certainly cannot pitch 6 times in 7 days under the new format. What would that would have meant for Milwaukee manager Craig Counsell is a different choice. Either pitcher is less a reliever, or those spots, which probably makes strikeouts go down, or push a starter deeper into games than he would have liked, which also probably makes strikeouts go down. It's not just about relievers either. Think about how heavily teams with top heavy rotations have been able to ride those horses in the World Series in recent years. While the regular season is often about depth, the postseason has been about stars. Look at last year's Nationals once more, and their big three of Matt Scherzer, Stephen Salzberg, and Patrick Corbin. That trio started over 50% of Washington regular season games and threw 40% of all regular season innings, and would have been even higher if Scherzer hadn't missed a few starts with a back strain. Now, in the playoffs, those three made 76% of all Washington Nationals starts and threw nearly 59% of all Nationals October innings, and much higher share of pitchers going to a much higher caliber of pitcher. Now, maybe you like that, maybe you don't. That's a top-heavy team like Washington can ride a few elite stars to glory. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you prefer that a team has to rely more on the fourth and fifth starters to make progress, more like it has to in the regular season. The five primary non-big three national starters, mostly Anibal Sanchez, but also John Ross, Jeremy Hickerson, and Eric Freddy, and Austin Voth, combined for a 4.04 ERA in their regular season starts. That has to count for something. In an acoustic choice, as in many ways, you want the playoffs to resemble something like regular season baseball, which October baseball rarely does. You might enjoy this. If you don't, it might only be a one-year thing if October 21 doesn't require a bubble. So, who benefits from this? Who doesn't? It's difficult to say, and it's not exactly the same for a five-game series as it is for a seven-game series. But let's try to play this out. Number one, it's good for teams with more than three solid starters. We should convict the obvious that neither season to date starts nor further projections tell us a ton about what a pitcher will be like on one or two particular days in October. For example, take the Braves, who have obviously season-long rotation problems. If you're looking at season to date, then Max Fried, 1.98 ERA, has been outstanding, but he's at least a little of a question mark until he successfully returns from back injury. If you're looking at projections, then Cole Hamels probably bears responsibility well due to his long track record of success, yet he hasn't thrown a major league pitch in nearly a year. He's expected to make his Braves debut Wednesday night. You get the idea. We'll do the best we can. Right now, there are 9 teams with at least 4 starters who have made at least 6 starts and an ERA of 100 average or better. We can knock out the Rockies, Royals, and Mariners, who are each unlikely to make the playoffs. Here are the remaining 6. The 5th one's Indians and Dodgers, and 4 is Twins, Marlins, Reds, and Cardinals. You are shocked to find that Cleveland and Los Angeles have a lot of good pitchers. They sure do. Still, even this look is open to interpretation. All due respect to Miami's Daniel Castano and his 3.32 ERA, but a well below average strikeout rate gives him a 5.73 FIP and a 6.10 expected ERA, which hardly bodies as well. Besides, what's most notable are the teams not represented here. How many Yankee starters do you trust aside from Garrett Cole? What do the Astros have if Justin Verlander isn't back? And even if he is, the Rays should have a great rotation, but Charlie Morton and Tyler Glasnow haven't posted results, living up to their talent anyway. So number two is good for teams with the most good pitchers. We represented that this time with any pitcher who has thrown at least 15 innings that got us seven teams with at least nine and an ERA plus of 100 or more, all likely to make the playoffs. And of course, teams with lots of good pitchers are likely to succeed. So you got 13 on the Dodgers, 10 on the Twins, and 9 on the Rays, Cardinals, Yankees, White Sox, and Indians. That's a great way to view the depth of the Dodgers. So who can start Dustin May or Tony Gholson as fourth or fifth starters if they choose to do so? So it will, like everything else this year, be different. You can see the argument that this might have been better or figured out before the trade deadline, so that teams like the Braves or Yankees might have tried harder to get an extra good, not great starter they think they needed 2 weeks ago. Whether you like this or not might depend on how it benefits your team or doesn't. Either way, at the end of October, it seems likely we'll look back and see that this was the postseason where teams had to use most of their pitching staff, not just the top part of it. That sounds a whole lot more like a regular season to us. So it's going to really take some time. And it's going to take the whole pitching staff and the playoffs to win. So it's gonna take some time, and they're gonna have to pitch their asses off. But this is gonna be the end of this podcast. So go on and subscribe to my YouTube channel, BXBomber2011, and the same thing for my Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, BXBomber2011. So long, everybody, and see you next time. See ya.